Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm so excited to welcome back Bernard Hines, a.k.a. the Laugh Therapist. You might remember him from episode 43, and if not, you are in for a treat. He's a retired 20-year Army vet, clean comedian, motivational speaker, radio personality, and peer recovery specialist who's turned his personal story of PTSD into a mission to bring healing through laughter. He's performed all over the country at clubs, churches, and veteran organizations, and now he's headed back to the Shenandoah Valley to headline at our new comedy club at Massanutten Resort on July 24th. Bernard blends faith, humor, and mental health in a way that's heartfelt, inspiring, and hilarious. Welcome back, Bernard. It's great to have you on today.
Hey, I'm great. It's happy. I'm great and happy to be here.
I am great and happy to have you here. So that's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you again.
Yeah, you're so fun to work with. I can't wait for people to learn more about you. Some people around here are already familiar with you because you're certainly a fan favorite. I have had people stop me and tell me, I really loved the Laugh Therapist when he came in to Court Square Theater, and it was the best time ever. Be sure to let me know when he's coming back. And I couldn't agree more. I know, I meant to tell you that, so I decided today I would just do it right now on this podcast.
And I appreciate it. Sometimes you need an uplifting in your day.
That's right. So before we all get into this, I do want to tell you, laughers, that we have been accepted into the Audible Creator Program, which means you get a free audiobook when you hit that link in the show notes, and then you can have someone else to listen to besides me in between episodes. And if you sign up for a free trial, then we get a little kickback, and that helps our podcast grow. And we certainly love your support, and it means so much to us, so we would thank you for that also. So now back to you, the Laugh Therapist. It has been a few years since you've been on, and I thought it would be nice if you could give us a little summary of what's changed or evolved for you most recently in your comedy and your message since then.
Okay, well, a lot has changed. My daughter has graduated from college. She's graduated from Virginia Tech, and she's back home, and she will be starting her kindergarten class. She will be a teacher.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. My son will be a junior now at James Madison, so he's up in the Shenandoah Valley.
Yes.
He's up there. I'm still happily married. Have to say happily. You have to say happily. Some people say I'm just still married. No, I'm still happily married. As far as comedy, comedy has been going well. I must admit it has been going well, but my speaking engagements has been more. I've been getting more speaking engagements.
That's wonderful.
And it has really taken off where I can speak about mental health awareness and use humor into it. I don't know if it was the last time that I was here, but I was picked by USAA for their campaign, the We Face the Fight. It's the fight against veteran suicide awareness. So I was a veteran spokesperson for that. And that is still going on if you go to their website or go to wefacethefight.org. And it's just veteran suicide awareness. So I was picked to do that, told my story, and they sent me out to Vegas to speak. And it was a blast. It was a blast. So speaking has been picking up more, but comedy has been still my therapy.
Yeah.
It is always and will always be my therapy. y'all just get the residuals from my therapy.
And they're great residuals, too.
Yes.
I do want to kind of clue people in just briefly who may not have listened to episode 43, where you shared more about your personal story about surviving suicide. If you could just recap that just a little bit, I think that will provide a lot of context for who you are, what you're about, and what you bring to the table when you come here. So,
yes. Well, as a veteran, I did 20 years, 7 months, and 4 days, and retired and came back. Yeah, I got to put all them days in there.
I know.
And
I came back from,
yeah, I'm putting them all in there.
Okay.
And I came back from Iraq. When I came back from Iraq, I retired 6 months after I came back from Iraq, and I still had war in my body. Let's put it that way. I still had war in my body, and I got to a point where I wasn't doing well. My first, my marriage had failed. Everything was, feel like it wasn't going right. And I contemplated taking my own life. I was 24 hours away from taking my own life until someone, my pastor, really set me down and talked to me. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I felt seen. And I always had laughter and comedy was always my go-to. Mm-hmm. So when I was looking for a name, I had a first name, and I really don't want to say it, but I have to say it. My first name was Reverend Peanut Butter and Jelly.
He's shaking his head.
It was like, so I was like, I can't take this name no way. I'm not going to be serious. No one's going to be, you know, going to think that's serious. So I brainstormed with a friend of mine. He was like, hey, man, well, what got you through? I said, well, laughter and a therapist. He said, well, won't you call yourself the laugh therapist? And the laugh therapist was birthed. And that really gave me a saving grace because it allowed me to be taken more seriously and allowed me to talk about my PTSD and not be ashamed of having PTSD and not be ashamed of having the stigma. I am the stigma crusher. I could care less about the stigma of seeking help. I want to be put it out there so people can see this young man, this person, this man went and got help for his mental health. And if this helped one person, that is not enough, but that is a start.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my goal. So that is my goal, to let folks know that having a mental health issue is not the end of the world.
I agree 100%.
But having a mental health issue and not seeking help or not doing anything about it would make you feel like it's the end of the world.
Yep. And I agree with that 100% too.
Yep.
Yeah. You've had an opportunity to do comedy for how long now? Can you remind me how long you've been doing stand-up?
I'm going to say seriously, 2012.
That's right. And then speaking, was that came after you started
stand-up? The speaking came after that, was like 2 years after that. It wasn't, because even in my stand-up, I always talked about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized speaking about it and still using humor in that, it made it plausible for people to receive it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of organizations would bring me in at the end of their mental health summits or anything, because they've been talking about so much mental health that it was heavy, and they used me to bring it down towards the end. So
end on a light note.
End on a light note. Correct.
Yeah,
and why not pick the laugh therapist who is not licensed, just medicated. So
I love that. Now, you've been on the road for over a decade now, both as a stand-up and as a speaker about mental health. Is there, and your story, is there something about that experience and sharing your story over the years that has surprised you?
I wouldn't say surprise. I would say gave me more fuel.
I see.
To do it. Because sometimes when you're sharing your story and you're talking about it, you know, you can get to a point where you said people just think you are trying to be a victim, or they just think you want to. No. But to hear people come up to me and be like, I wish I heard you earlier so I could understand my father a little better, who was a Vietnam veteran. They didn't understand about the PTSD back then. They didn't understand about the triggers, or having a spouse, because I worked with the Wounded Warriors before, and having a spouse come up to my wife and be like, I haven't seen him laugh or smile like this in 6 months. That is the fuel that kept me going. They're like, okay, okay, Okay. Because when you're telling your story and you're always talking about what you've been through and what you've done and how you survived, sometimes people can look at you like, you know what? You think you all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I have gotten to the point where it doesn't matter what people think about me, because there's some people out there dying who needs to hear my story and needs to hear other people's story.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to that, that inspiration of hearing from someone that's in the place that you are right now.
Correct.
And now they're on the other side of it. It gives you hope that, oh, if they could make it then through this, then I can too. Or at least it starts that miniature seed of belief that this can be a better day and a better life for me, because this person who got on the other side showed me it can.
Right. And that's why when I became a peer recovery specialist, I have to know myself. I can't have I cannot be a therapist and have 6 or 8 clients. That's just not me. That's not my makeup. I can't. So as a peer recovery specialist.
That would be entertaining, though, to watch you do that.
Yeah. You know, Debbie and No. So as a peer recovery specialist, it's one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I do one-on-one. And then what I do, I get them to trust me, then I hand them off to resources, because that's one of the main things about this mental health. People don't know how many resources is out there for them and their family.
That's
the key for them and the family.
Right. I bet there's a whole lot more resources than people can imagine.
It is a whole lot. Yes, it is.
That's great news. When you're out in these veteran organizations and you're talking to them and doing the motivational speech with the humor that you naturally have, how do you balance that humor and healing in your time with them? What does that look like for you?
Well, I do have a spiritual life.
Okay.
So I do have a spiritual life. So I make sure, you know, I pray, I make sure I'm focused. And I make sure I have a person who I call my spouse and also my partner in recovery who can reel me back in when I get way out there. Because sometimes I do be all over the place and she'll come in and she'll close them tabs. Because, you know, if you got a lot of tabs open on your computer, it's slowing down your memory. So you have to make sure that you have people around you who care about you, who know you. Because if you're always giving out and you are never putting anything in, then that's how you get burnt out.
Okay.
That's how you get burnt. So sometimes I know I can't take every assignment. Every assignment is not mine. Every time I get something, I know I can't just, because as an entertainer and as a speaker, when I see it, the first thing I want to do is go. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's go. Let's do it. I ain't check no logistics. I ain't check no, is there a price? I ain't check. So I have to run it by my wife, who has taken more control of my, as I can say, my career. And she knows how to navigate that for me.
That's great.
Sometimes, you just have to have someone in your corner who loves you, trusts you, and has your best interest.
And teamwork makes the dream work. You guys are...
Teamwork makes the dream work. And we butt heads. But hey, that's life.
I think that's just part of marriage. I don't know.
Oh, yes. And most of my comedy is about life anyway. 95% of my comedy is about life, if so people can relate to it. I want to be relatable.
Mm-hmm. I would say definitely your comedy is relatable.
Yeah. I don't want nobody to leave that time and say, oh, he was vulgar. He was this. I ain't got nothing against nobody who does that. But right. I want you to leave thinking like, next time you go home and you sit with you, I remember when the last you do. That's the type of comedy I want.
Yeah, and it is memorable. I will say that. I will say that. When you're on the radio, are you talking about these mental health issues on your radio program also, or when you get on the radio?
Yes. When I'm on there, because as a laugh therapist, people expect that.
Okay, got it.
You know what I'm saying? They expect that. So I will always incorporate some type of mental health into whatever I'm doing. Okay. That's just my brand. That's just my platform. That's just what I know most.
I see. Yeah.
So, yes.
I have a question about, are there common triggers in your experience for PTSD with regards to recovering from, I don't know what to call it, recovering from suicide attempts, I guess is the best way to say
yes.
That? Okay.
I would say what the place I'm in now, being able to have the resources.
Right.
I know when I'm getting to that place where my wife can know, he's depressed. Mm. He's depressed. Where's this coming from? Because Christmas that just passed, Christmas of 2024, I was back in that place of my mind was talking to me more than I was talking to my mind. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
It was telling me I was going through a period. I was going through a period where I felt like a failure because of multiple marriages and none of my kids were really, you know, I always wanted to be the person that had the big family. Mm. You know, everybody comes home. Yeah. I wanted to have the one mama, the one daddy. I did because I was raised with a blended family and I never wanted a blended family. Mm. I wanted to be get married one time, boom, boom, boom. That didn't work out that way. So I started blaming myself for a lot of stuff and I went into deep depression. I went into deep depression till I got to a point where I was saying to myself, you know what, these people are better off without you.
Oh yeah.
And I had to go and really shake myself and really go and be honest with my wife and say, baby, I'm having these thoughts again. And then we had to go and do the work again. I had to go back and do the work again because even though I had PTSD and what I was going through, when I first got back and had to face some things that I really didn't want to face, I always used to think, man, if I had just died in Iraq, I would have came back a hero. I would have came back in the casket. You know, they'd have had the flag draped over me. Everybody been like, he went to war. He was a hero. Instead of having to deal with the PTSD, having to deal with the people understanding me again, dealing with the people. Well, he wasn't like that when he left. All that other good stuff. So that also was because it is a constant battle up here.
Yes, I agree.
It is a constant battle, and I am on meds, and I'm not ashamed to tell anybody. I am on meds, but during that time last December, I decided on myself, I don't really need to be on meds no more.
Oh, my goodness. Is that when it's the your mind that's started when, really talking?
That's when it spiraled. I realized, okay, I need them. Okay, because, you know, you get to a point where you're doing good, you're thinking everything is going good. You're like, okay, maybe I don't, because it does have some side effects. Mm-hmm. But the side effects that it has is not nowhere near taking your life.
Yeah, that's pretty.
You know, so.
Yes.
So I just adjusted.
Yeah.
I just adjusted. Just to say, with my doctor, because she my therapist was hot with me. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was hot. So we just adjusted, and now I'm much better. Much, much thinking clearer. Now I know, okay, I do need them. Stop trying to think, okay, you don't need them. No, you need them, sir. You need them. And it's just been a better ride.
Yeah.
A better ride. Been a better ride.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, if I heard you right, is that a trigger can be that life didn't turn out like you expected it to. Okay.
Correct.
And then
that's one of the main triggers, that life didn't turn out the way you do. And then you're looking on social media, you're seeing everybody you're seeing during the Christmas holidays, everybody with their kids and they match it, and you just start spiraling. You know, and also another trigger is coming back to childhood traumas.
Yes. Agree.
Mm-hmm. Childhood trauma is real. You know, when I left home at 18, I left and went into the military. I ain't had to face what was back home. Mm-hmm. But when I retired and moved back home, oh, I had to face it. Mm-hmm. I had to. So it was facing childhood trauma along with PTSD, along with when you come back home from the military, everybody expect you to be the savior, or you supposed to be so rich and now because you didn't. Hey, you ain't all that rich.
Right.
You
right.
just got a little discipline, you know. So, yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. That going through a divorce, it was a lot. Mm.
So when you came back, you were going through a divorce.
Yes.
Wow. That's a yes. lot. That is a lot.
Yes. Yes. Because which we are friends now, you know, everybody's good now, but it was told to me that I was different. Then of course you go to war, right? You're going to come back different. But it was just a lot that the family goes through also. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks at the veteran, but the family goes through a lot also.
That's true.
You know, I remember my son saying he was going through high school, and he was like, you know, I'm in high school and I'm thinking, is my dad is in war? Is he going to come back? And you don't really think about that. You think about what we're going through, but the family is going through too, because when that war started, it was really new for everybody. Mm-hmm. And CNN and everybody was showing everything. So it was a major spiral for families that people right now, when they heard about what was going on with the bombing that was going on in Israel and Iran, it triggered some of my veterans.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah, it triggered. Yeah, it triggered, because you know, you think about, whoa, here we go again. Or you think about what's on the other side. You know what I'm saying? There's troops over there. And if you were in command, it just is a lot that what people are dealing with to get to the next day. That's all I'm saying. You deal with a lot to get to the next day. I was able to speak to my uncle, who was a colonel. And he had PTSD, and when I started talking about going to therapy and with the family and stuff like that, it helped him, because he was a commander that sent soldiers to war. Mm. So when and some of them didn't come back. Mm. So his trigger was certain days of the year.
I see.
That can come around. So there's a lot of stuff that can trigger a person that, you know, and you have to know your triggers, and those who are around you. My family knows my triggers. Mm. We have sat down, we've been through therapy. They know my triggers, and we have gotten to a point where you don't have to walk on eggshells around daddy.
That's wonderful.
That's what we have gotten to. There's no eggshells. We laugh, we joke. There's no eggshells.
Yes, healing is more than possible. And
yes, it is.
Help makes that, opens the door to make it.
Yes,
happen.
It does. Yeah. Yes, it does. I've always say I turn my baggage into luggage.
Nah, really?
Now I can travel.
Now you can travel. Okay, I was going to say, what does that mean to you? Okay.
Because when you have baggage, if I tell you, hey, you're going on a trip, take this baggage with you. I'm not taking all this baggage. But if you, hey, let's go on a trip, here's your luggage. Mm-hmm. Hey, okay.
Yeah.
So I've said therapy has turned my baggage into luggage. Because when you got baggage, sometimes you just stuck. You don't know what to do. I'm just stuck with all this baggage, all this junk. But if I say, hey, let's go on this trip, here go your luggage, you ready to go.
That's right. You are ready to go.
You ready to go. But it takes work. It takes work. It takes being honest. Mm-hmm. It takes knowing yourself. It takes doing the work. And that's what hurts. That's what a lot of people don't want to do, the work, because sometimes you have to dig up some things that's really been down there. Mm-hmm. That's really been. And you have to realize that even as when childhood trauma, you might not get the apology that you've been looking for. Mm-mm.
No.
So you have to just move on with life.
That's right.
You know?
Accept what happened.
There you go.
And then process the feelings from what happened.
So that's right.
They can be seen, heard, and validated. And they're going to keep They're going to keep tapping you until you do.
That's right.
Right?
Until it's going to come out.
That's right. But once you do, though, there's a beautiful, because I've been on a mental health journey, also healing journey.
Okay.
There's this beautiful process that once you start doing that, then they integrate and become a part of you. It's almost like you become more whole.
Become more, you do.
Yes.
You do.
And it feels a lot better. And then you start moving out of a victim mentality from what happened to you into victor mentality, where you can really look at that, what happened and what was your role in it, what was not your role in it.
There you go.
What can you learn from it? And maybe you are on the severe victim side where you were completely mistreated, but you might be... That might have happened to you, quite frankly, because of a lack of boundaries or other things you can learn about how to keep yourself safe so something like that won't happen again. That's not for every case, per se. It's just an example.
Correct. And that is great because me and my mom, we had severe issues. But now we're great because I got to the point that when... One day when she's going, if she passed before me, I want to grieve properly. No. We both sat down. We both apologized. We both did the work. We both was like, hey, it was boom, boom, boom. And then you have to hear the story of the other side, too. The other person has a story, too.
Exactly.
Everybody has a story.
That's right.
you can't just look at Back then, they didn't have all this social media, all this mental health stuff, all this AI. They have all that. They did the best they could at that time.
And there was more stigmatism back then about getting some help for your mental health. They would think you were just completely crazy.
Crazy.
And there would... I mean, to be honest, I feel like bullying to people back then, and needed to be able to share and process. But people didn't know that either, though. So just having some understanding and compassion about where everybody was in the historical timeline of humanity and what was available to knowledge or for knowledge and what was not. You know, people, I think...
What was available?
I think in general, people try to do the best they can. I'm not... Certainly, there's evil out there. Not much you can do about evil. I know from pure evil.
I know for my family.
Yeah.
I know for my family growing up, and I'm sure it's for a lot of other families, no one wanted to be seen as your child is the one that's making the family look bad. You know, so my mom got pregnant early. Oh, Lord. That was not supposed to be heard of in our family because we were supposed to be the family.
Then
that spiral. So you have to know everybody's story.
And that, came with hurts for her. And then she would act out certain ways and have triggers for various other reasons because of her story and what happened to her. And then everything is connected. That's what my therapist
said. Everything
is connected. Yeah.
Everything is connected. And one thing we have to learn is we want everybody to give us grace. We got to learn to give other people grace too.
Preach it, laugh therapist.
We have to learn to give other people grace.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Period. We do kind of walk around, you know, and I can't say I haven't been guilty of it myself. Like, well,
of course,
we
have.
What is he doing over there? What is that about? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Does she even know?
Come on now.
Right?
Come on now. So it's a lot, and it's going to get, I'm not going to say worse, but it's going to get more intense because everything is moving like kids now, everybody has a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So now the attention span is the creativity. What are we doing? What is that doing? You know, we played outside. That didn't bother us.
That's
you know, we had to learn. I'll never forget when it was raining and the water would be going down the side of the curve going into the drain. Mm-hmm. We would get little sticks and put in the water and call it racing boat. We would be racing. That was creativity. We didn't know any better. So it's like we just have to be mindful of the mental health. And people said, don't repeat what was done to you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you got to realize, I did a post today, and I cried. I wasted so much of my life crying about what I didn't have growing up when I forgot to realize what I did have growing up.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We think about what I didn't have, but what did you have? I had grandparents who loved me. I had mom who still loved. I didn't want for nothing growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get older, then you realize I didn't have love. I didn't get hugged enough. I'm not slighting anybody, but you know, that's what you gravitate to, what you didn't have, but what did you have?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I try to live my life now. What did I have? And I had great, great time.
Yeah. And people that
I had a great time.
I think that's a really good point. And I know you are a big time Virginia Tech fan. So,
so let's go Hokies.
So I think you'll appreciate this. Frank Beamer was a head coach for a long time, widely respected and very beloved. And he was also the head coach at the time my son was getting recruited all over the country.
I remember that. That was very hurtful.
I know. He wanted to go to Tech and he went to UNC. Yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. But to your point, I would ask each one of the head coaches that we would go on recruiting trips to see what did they think that was their success formula in winning a lot of football games, just to see what each of them would say. And Frank Beamer said, you get what you emphasize. And I thought that was so profound. And it's not just about how to win a lot of football games. I think that applies to how you can win in life.
Life.
In terms of what you emphasize. So if you're emphasizing lack, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have this, you're going to have a lot more of I don't have this and I don't have that and I don't have this. But if you shift your mindset to focus on the things that you do have, that is abundance. And so abundance attracts abundance. In the end, you get what you emphasize. So if you want to change the direction of your life and your energy, start focusing on what you have and not on what you don't.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is so true. And in 2015, I was able to do comedy for Frank Beamer and the Virginia Tech coaches.
What?
Yes.
Ah, that's so, how was that experience?
Me and the Virginia Tech chaplain, he found me on Twitter because I followed everybody. And he found me on Twitter and he started looking at what I was talking about. And then he looked at what my wife was talking about, making sure we was talking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he inboxed me and I was in Florida. And he said, hey, my name is Dave Giddens. I know you don't really know me, but I'm the chaplain for Virginia Tech football team. I've been following you for a while. I'd like to know if you'd like to come up and do some comedy. And I just knew I'm getting punked. I just said, I'm getting punked. I'm getting punked. So, yes, I went up there and I did comedy for the coaches. And then just on June the 1st, I went back up there to do the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Yes, I saw that on social.
Yes, me and Bud Foster and everything. So I am embedded in Virginia Tech. I am a Virginia Tech Hokie through and through. So yeah. But that is great, though. I like that one.
Isn't that a good one?
Make sure you say that again. Say that one more time in case people forget that.
You get what you emphasize.
You get what you emphasize. That is beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? That's a quote by Frank Kramer. It's always stuck with our family. In 2015, that's when my son was done with his collegiate career. So when he was doing the high school recruiting trips, that was a bulk of them from 2009 to 2010.
Right.
In there mainly.
And his players still love him. His players still love him.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that great? So that's how many years ago that was told to me. And our family and still will say that quote.
That's right.
You know,
that's crazy.
But,
that's
different
awesome.
Things happen in life. We say that and remind ourselves that you get what you emphasize.
You get what you emphasize. Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that
beautiful? We're going to use that. We're going to use that in our
you
family.
Should. So you know. Should.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I like that.
Because you love tech. So that'd be good.
Yes.
I promise I won't wear Carolina blue when you come here.
You can. Hey, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me one bit.
I do look good in Carolina blue.
That is a beautiful color. But I do love that burgundy, though. That burgundy is nice.
I'm sure
yes.
you do. A couple more questions before we get into this game. If you could speak directly to someone right now who's struggling silently, what's something you wish they knew? They're hearing this right now. Yeah, they're struggling silently. They haven't really reached out for help yet.
Mm-hmm.
What's something you wish they knew?
That you are worthy.
Oh, I love
you
that.
You are worthy.
Yes.
We get into a place we feel like we are not worthy. We are not worth anything. My worth is you are worthy of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You are worthy of the next day. You are worthy of continuing to keep going. That's the key. I can speak for me. I felt I didn't have any worth. Mm-hmm. But my worth was not in comedy. My worth was in me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to find out in me that I did not like me because I told myself all the bad things about me.
Mm-hmm.
None of the good things. So whoever that person is, start speaking to yourself about the good things about you, the good things that are in you. And somebody out there is dependent on you.
Mm. I love that a lot. And it's what's coming to mind to me right now is, you know, I actually have CPTSD. So complex PTSD.
Okay.
And so that whole worthiness and the negative self-talk and all of that. So that's some of what we talked about in therapy. With my therapist, and one of the helpful exercises she gave me that can maybe possibly be helpful to a person who's struggling silently right now is she said, think about somebody that you love the most. Mm-hmm. And I said, my son. And she said, that's great. I figured you were going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, now, if your son was talking to you about himself, the way you were just talking to me about yourself, what would you say to him?
Say to him.
So whatever you would say to him, say that to yourself.
To yourself.
So when you go through a situation and it's new and foreign to you, or it's upsetting or troubling, or you're getting in a negative spiral, just pretend that you're talking to Landon and now say that to yourself.
Wow.
And I thought that was hugely helpful, especially early on, because then I started doing that, you know.
Right.
Raised my level of awareness. I would hear the negative spiral self-talk starting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, okay, if I were talking to my son, what would I say? And then I would say that to myself.
And see, it's amazing you say that, because I use the acronym PTSD. They say post-traumatic stress disorder, but I say processing traumatic situations differently. The way you process it, by your therapist told you, talk to Landon. I don't care how people have to process
it. Right, you got to find your way. Yeah,
you got to find your way how you process it to get to the next day. That is great.
I thought it was.
That is great.
Yeah, because it's teaching you how to love yourself.
Correct.
Right? in the way correct. That you would naturally love someone else.
Someone else.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like also using the baggage analogy. You know, I use baggage a lot. But this is another one, though. I'm going to be quick on this one. When you have a lot of baggage and you go to get on the airplane, if you get there and your bag weighs over 50 pounds, they got to tell you do what? Unpack that
bag, right?
Or it's going to cost you an excess baggage fee.
Yes, that's where I was going first. Yes.
Or excess baggage fee.
That's right.
So you have to unpack that baggage in order to get on the plane because the plane is going somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, you're going to always have some type of baggage in your life. That's just common. You're going to have baggage. Mm-hmm. But if you have excess baggage and you don't unpack it, it's going to cost you from getting off the ground to go.
And so we got to realize. True. We got to do it. Go ahead.
That's what I tell you. You got to unpack that excess baggage. We always going to have some type of baggage. I might have some type of baggage. It's just me. But I don't want to have excess baggage that I can't get on that plane and fly to my destination. And when you got a lot of baggage, it's holding you back from getting to that destination.
That's correct. Another thing that's coming to mind is you keep recreating your own drama and trauma until you unpack that baggage. So
that's right.
If you're listening right now and maybe you're somebody like, why do I keep getting in these relationships where somebody treats me like this and that's not the way I should be treated? That is a sign that there is unpacked baggage.
That's right.
And yeah, you have not unpacked because you're recreating the scenario to try to solve it. And the way to solve it is not over, it's through.
Correct. So. And one of the most powerful things my pastor told the congregation, he says, some people don't know how to live without drama. They have to have it. And I thought about that thing because sometimes when you have a peace of mind and there's nothing around, some people just used to having chaos.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was me.
Yeah.
That was me. My wife would tell me, she was like, "Bae, do you know you just created that?" It was a perfect day. We sitting here and you created the chaos because you don't know how to live in peace. And that's what I had to learn. And it's a learning behavior. If you come from a family that's always had trauma, always had something going on, always, and you learn this is what peace feel like. You guard it very much like life. You guard it because peace is worth millions.
It is worth millions. And I read the Body Keeps Score, great book, I highly recommend. But our brain patterns are like putting kind of like a record player, the old record players, and the grooves. And the reason why we can hear the music because it would go around in a circle and then to the next one. It's basically a repeatable pattern. So,
yes, it is.
So you have to unpack it and heal from it to create new patterns to have the peace.
That's right.
Sans the chaos.
Yes. Yeah. And some people don't want to see you peaceful. They don't want to see you peaceful.
No, they don't.
They don't want to see you peaceful. No.
No.
I've learned all this. Oh, this. Yeah, they don't want to see you peaceful.
I know people be people, and I love people.
I love them too.
But they be peopling sometimes.
People be peopling.
I do too, though, because I'm going to pretend.
We all do.
I'm not perfect either. So.
Yeah, we all do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know with my PTSD, there are some people who just don't want to be, you know, when I was going through, didn't want to be around me. And I had to come to grips. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And I get that. I get that. Because I was always the joker. I was always a comedian. I would always, you know, say something that was funny, but at the wrong time. I had to learn my new social skills. But the group that I have around me now, they know if we out somewhere or we having a function, if I go sit off in the corner or if I go chill, he good. Just let him go and do it. And that's what I need.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their own thing that people need to give folks grace on.
I agree 100%. Humor is such a big coping mechanism. It's
been yes.
that way for me since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. My husband, since he was a kid. Now we're both comedians.
Yeah,
doing shows with you.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of comedians that comedy has come from trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
Exactly. I know.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful you're coming to headline yes. at the new comedy club. What can audiences expect from the show that might
you
be
can
different?
Expect, or you just, can, I don't know about different, but you okay. can expect real life comedy that you can look at your spouse or look at somebody and say, I know somebody just like that. Because my tag is, I don't pick on anybody in the audience, but you're going to see yourself in all these jokes. That is my key for somebody to say, you act just like, that is the key, because life is hilarious.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And you can get through it so much.
Life is hilarious. Yes. And I just love making folks laugh. I love talking about life. I have dogs. I have a mother-in-law to live with me. I have kids in college. I'm a former military. I have PTSD. My wife has OCD. There's a lot. We're a blended family. There's a lot I can choose from.
I know. Chris, my husband and I always talk about, we don't know what we would do with life without humor. I don't know, and I don't want to know.
So. Met my wife at a comedy club, so she knew what she was getting into, but I didn't even.
I know.
I gotta have it. Gotta have it.
Yeah, you gotta have it. We're gonna do the game now before we close out here. I'm very excited. It's designed for you. It's called Therapist Says, Comedian Replies.
All right. Okay.
So I'm gonna throw out some classic therapy or self-help phrases, and you're gonna give me your first reaction, comedian style or straight up honest. Either way is fine. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does that make you feel?
It make me feel like you shouldn't have asked that question. That's how it make me feel. You shouldn't even ask that question. All them other questions you had, you gonna ask that one?
Great. All right. Here's the second one. It sounds like you're projecting.
No, if I was projecting, I would be throwing something. That doesn't sound like I'm projecting. Okay, if I was projecting, I would be throwing something.
I love it. Here's the next one. Let's unpack that.
I didn't pack it in the first place. So how are we going to unpack something I didn't even pack? They did that to me. Okay, so they should be unpacking my stuff.
This is great. All right, next one. Take a deep breath.
Do you see how fat I am? If I take a deep breath and hold, why are you telling me to hold my breath? Why are you telling me to almost kill myself? I came here for help.
All right, last one. Progress, not perfection.
No. I didn't pay you for progress. I paid you for perfection, okay? Now, if I can give you half the payment for half the progress, but I want full payment for full perfection. I didn't give progress payment. I gave perfection payment.
I feel like you have said some of these things to your therapist.
Felt like it. The best one my therapist used to always say is, let's go with that. When she say let's go with that, that means shut up and let's go to somewhere. And me and my wife, we use that at the house. When I say something don't make sense, she like, let's go with that. Let's go with that.
That was so fun. You were amazing. I love that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And laughers, that was Therapist Says, Comedian Replies. And now I just feel like we all need a big group hug and a laugh.
Yes. Yes.
That's so fun. Well, before we get out of here and close, first of all, can you share with the laughers how they can get in touch with you on social media or otherwise?
Yes. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to my website. It's www.thelaughtherapist.com. You can find me on Instagram at the_laugh_therapist. And I should have had all this together. But then again, on Facebook is Vernard Hines. But if you go to my website, you can find all my social media there.
That's great. And laughers, we'll put that in the show notes for you as well, so it'll be easy to find. And I want to thank you for joining us today. Vernard, it's been great catching up with you. And I'm so excited about you coming on July 24th.
Me too. Thank you. Oh,
you are so welcome. It's going to be amazing. Laughers, we'll put that show link too, so you can get tickets to come see him as well in the show notes. Oh, it's going to be so fun. A Massanutten Resort. We're having such a great time with this new comedy club. I think we're it's weekly show. We're 17 shows in, and they're good to great. They're always fun. People are having a ball, and so are we. So definitely check out. It is. And laughers, we want to thank you for joining in today and spending time with us. If you know somebody that might be struggling and you think they can benefit from this episode, please share it with them. We cannot get through this life together. I mean, not together. We need to do it together and lift each other up and help each other. So please do like, subscribe, share with a friend, and you can catch more episodes when you do that. And we would love to have our community grow so we can all lift each other up. Remember, you can get that free audiobook waiting for you at Audible. And when you hit the link in the show notes and sign up for a free trial, then we'll get a little kickback to help this podcast grow. And then lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomacks.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.